Testing. There you go, there you go. We're on. Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Can we stand up together? Everyone come on in and stand up together. Turn to someone, welcome them. Come on, greet someone, tell them, I'm glad you're here today. Good to see you. Say hi to somebody. Happy New Year, everybody. Praise God. Now listen, this morning at about 7:45, I got a text from Leslie, who is our lead singer, and she texted me to say that she got sick last night. She had fevers and chills, and she just can't be here today. So we're going to need your help today, because we all together are going to sing and praise and worship God together today. Yes. Right? Come on, put your hands together right now. That's a good start. That's a good start. Clap your hands. The Bible says this in Psalm 47, in verse number 1. It says, go ahead and celebrate. Come on and clap your hands, everyone. Come on and clap your hands, everyone. Shout to God with raucous sounds of joy, for the Lord God Most High is astonishing, awesome beyond words. He is the formidable and powerful King over all the earth. He's the one who conquered the nations before us, placed them under our feet. The Bible says that God is an astonishing, awesome God, and that we should clap our hands, we should celebrate, and we should shout unto Him with shouts of joy. That's what we're going to do today. So clap your hands right now, put them together, give God a shout. Hallelujah. Lord, we praise You, we worship You, we magnify You, Lord. We thank You that You are so great, You are so mighty. And Lord, we've come into this place to lift up the name of Jesus. Amen. We're here to lift up the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Come on, put your hands together. Clap with us. Clap with us. Sing along. Oh,
God is on our side.
He has overcome. He is overcome. We will not be shaken. We will not be moved. Jesus, you are here.
Clap along with us.
God is fighting
for us. God is on our side.
He has overcome. Yes,
He has overcome.
We will not be shaken.
We will not be moved.
Jesus, you are here. Greater than we would have before. We are going to lift our voice and we're going to give praise to our God. In fact, listen to me. This is going to be the greatest praise service we ever had today. Amen.
I'll raise a hallelujah. I raise. praise a hallelujah. Praise a hallelujah. Praise a hallelujah.
I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder. You're gonna hear my praises roar up from the ashes. Oh, will I rise?
Come on, raise a hallelujah. Give the Lord praise. Give him praise. Give him praise. Hallelujah. Man, you're doing good today. You're doing good today. Tell your neighbor you're doing good today. You know, the scripture says in Isaiah 43, in verse 16, it says, I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea and a path through the mighty waters. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way through the sea and he makes a path through the mighty waters. How many of you know that our God is the way maker? Our God makes a way where there doesn't seem to be any way. The Bible says that when the children of Israel came to the Red Sea and the Egyptian army was bearing down on them, there was no way out. It was impossible. But yet Moses stretched forth his rod and there was a north wind that blew all night long and blew the ocean. The Red Sea parted the ocean. The Bible says the wind dried up the sand and the children of Israel crossed through the Red Sea. God made a way where they didn't see a way. You may be in a situation today and you don't see a way. Let me tell you, he is the way maker. He can make a way even when you don't see a way, even when you don't feel a way. He can make a way. And that's the song that we're going to sing right now. He's the way maker. This song has been on my heart all week long. My kids, Nadine, shared it with me on a text. And I started listening to it. And I just listened to it over and over and over and over. Because I just felt my faith rising up on the inside. I felt hope rising up within me. He is the way maker. And I want you to sing it with us. How many of you are believing God to make a way where you don't see a way? Raise your hand. You believe in God to make a way for you. Maybe you've been believing God for a partner. And you don't see a way. Let me tell you, he has a way. Maybe you believe in God for a financial situation. You don't see a way out. He can make a way where you do not see a way. I want us to lift our voices and I want us to lift our hands and I want us to sing this song. It's a declaration. It's a declaration of faith. You are the way maker. Amen.
I worship you.
You are way maker.
You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Heart. I worship you.
Come on, tell him, I worship you.
I worship you.
Lift your hands, say, I worship you.
You are here, touching every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, touching every heart.
Miracle worker,
All right. You got it now, right? You got it? How does it go? He's the way maker. Come on, say it. He's the way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. Come on, sing it with us. Lift your hands, declare it. Come on, tell us. Tell him you are.
Way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are.
Come on, sing it again. Time you are the way maker,
miracle worker, promise keeper, light of the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Lord, we thank you today that you are the way maker, you are the miracle worker, you are the promise keeper, and you are the light in the darkness. Can you say amen, somebody? Come on, give God a shout, give him praise today. Put your hands together and give God. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout out to God with a voice of triumph. Hallelujah. You're the way maker. You're the miracle worker. Lord, we praise you. We worship you today in Jesus' name. Amen. You did good today, man. Huh? I got a call this morning at 8 o'clock from Leslie, our lead singer, saying that she got sick last night and she had fevers and chill and chills or whatever, and she couldn't be here today. And I'm like, oh, Lordy, what are we going to do? But let me tell you, the band did a great job today, didn't they? You know, it's amazing how people step up. I feel like you really stepped up today. Manny did great. Angela did great. Teresa did great. We're so glad to have Mike drove down. We called him this morning at about 8:30, and he drove down from Stuart and came help us out today. And I met Mike through Rick and Cherie. He's a singer, and he was singing at Double Roads, and he sounds a lot like Frank Sinatra. That's what I'm told. Frank Sinatra, right? A little bit like Frank Sinatra. I did it my way. So he just jumped in the car and came on down, and I believe Mike's going to be part of this team, and I said to him we'd like him to come and join us and sing. Well, I hope you will, Mike.
All I can say, it's way better singing today than the last time I sang in church. This is a happy occasion. Last time I sang in church was for my father's wake. So.
Oh, boy. Well, thanks for being
way
here.
Better.
Thank you, Mike. The last time you said it was at your father's wake, so
yes.
Is that a while ago?
A long time ago.
Well, let me tell you, we're not going to wait that long again,
yeah.
Right? And Dave did great today. Thank you, Dave, Rick and Dave. And, of course, Muff and Job over there. You may not know it, but Muff is the silent puppet master.
Not so silent.
He's our music director, and he does an amazing job helping us. Thank you, Muff. Doing a great job today. Thank you, Muff. You know, that's a little. It is a little stressful when you find out your lead singer's not going to be here an hour before. But let me tell you, man, we had a great time of worship today. I enjoyed worship today, right? That just, you know what? You can't depend on anything to worship God. You can't depend on a singer. You can't depend on music. You can give God praise out there in the middle of the, out there on the beach with no one around. You can lift your voice and you can give God praise. Amen. Comes from within. Amen. And you did that today. Amen. Turn to your neighbor. Tell them you did good today. I'm glad to see you.
Praise God. Let's take a minute and just greet someone around you. Thanks.
Dave. Hey, Rick.
Wonderful. Well, good morning, Ascend Church. So glad to see you today. I love that. Well, Happy New Year, because it's the first Sunday of a brand new year. Isn't that amazing? Praise God. We had a great message last week on getting some vision. So we've been thinking New Year all week, but really it's the first Sunday. So Happy New Year. I love that we were singing that song because I feel my faith being stirred. How about you? You know, come on, your faith just gets stirred when you begin to think of God who makes a way where there doesn't seem to be a way. And you know, the Bible actually says, and I just love it when I saw this translation, it says that God is famous for his faithfulness. I remind him sometimes, I said, Lord, you're famous for your faithfulness. So I can depend on that. You're famous for it. But we're so glad you're in church with us this morning, this cold Florida winter day. I see everybody pulled out sweaters we've never seen before or boots, right? And it's good to be in church. I'm glad you're here. I pray that you get exactly what you need today, that God speaks to you and gives you some direction and leading for the year to come. And we want to welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time. I know we have some first-time visitors. We love to have visitors in our church. We're always inviting people to church because not just... It's not about numbers. It's about we receive. Anybody receive anything when they hear? You get something out of it. People tell us that all the time. And we want to share that. There are other people that need to just get some of what God has in this house. And so if you are visiting for the first time today, welcome. Hope you feel comfortable. Very friendly congregation. And our ushers are standing ready. They have a visitor pack, a gift bag. They'd just like to give you where you're sitting. So if you're here for the first time, would you mind just waving your hand that they can just identify you? God bless you. Welcome. Come on, anyone else, just raise your hand. Thank you. If our ushers, those ushers have to be quick because visitors do that. Just like that. So if they don't see you, just wave your hand a little more so they can see you. So glad you joined us. There's a white card in that bag, just says guest. If you take a moment and fill that out, at the end of the service, we pass an offering bucket by and just drop that card in. Gives the pastor an opportunity to call you, find out how you enjoyed the service. But we're ready for a good day today. Amen. We've got the four main purposes of our church to remind you. The first one is we want to help you to know God better than you do. I want to know God better than I do, deeper than I have in this year to come. How about you? Right? To find freedom in every area of your life, to discover your purpose, and to make a difference. We're gonna see some great things in this year ahead. Amen. And if you, we are live streaming. We're on Facebook Live. We are on our mobile app. And if you want to go ahead and share on that, we have at least twice as many people watch online than we have in the service. So it is a tool that's used these days in the church. So you can go ahead and share that. Thanks, my dear.
Praise the Lord. I've got to say, doesn't Pastor Jill look great today? I don't have to say it. I wanted to say it. I've got to tell you. Looking stylish. I'm warm. I started out 56 degrees driving to church, and I thought I'd need a jacket. But let me tell you, you start singing and praising, you don't need a jacket anymore. Man, I'm telling you, the Lord is good, isn't he? I'm just so amazed at how well the worship went. Debbie told me, man, that was fantastic. Praise God. Well, Happy New Year. Like my wife said, this is the first Sunday of 2020. If you weren't here last Sunday, I would really encourage you to go and watch last Sunday's sermon. You can watch it on our phone, our mobile app, or you can watch it on our website. But last Sunday, I preached on 2020 vision. And I really encourage you to go and listen to that, because let me tell you, God wants to do great things in your life this year, but you've got to have a vision for it. The Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Without a vision, the people perish. What limits us is a lack of vision. So I spoke about vision last week, and we wrote down goals. And I encourage you to, the Bible says to write your vision down. I encourage you, get a vision board. Even put up pictures of things that you believe in God for, because that helps you get a vision. Put up pictures and write the vision down, and you know, make vision, make goals for this year, spiritual goals. What do you want to see happen in your life spiritually? You want to get closer to God? You want to be able to hear His voice more? I mean, what goals are you going to make spiritually? How many people you want to win to Jesus this year? How many people you want to bring to church this year? Think about what goals you have in your career, in your job, in your health, in your family, whatever it is. But I really encourage you to, you know, unless you write a goal down, it's not a goal until you write it down. And if you don't write it down, it's just a wish. It's just a thought. You got to write it down and start trusting God. And so go and listen to last week's sermon on 2020 vision. I believe it'll be a blessing to you. But today, I'm going to be speaking about the fast track to breakthroughs. Fast track to breakthroughs. So let's pray, and we're going to get right into God's word. Don't stop playing while I pray. Keep on praying while I pray. Father, we thank you that you are the God of breakthrough. We thank you, Lord, that you are the way maker. You're the one who makes a way through the sea. You makes a way where we don't see a way. And Lord, I thank you today that you have great breakthroughs in store for us this year. And I pray, Lord, that as I stand and declare your word, I pray you will anoint your word today. I pray you will speak to every heart. I pray you will touch every life, Lord. I pray that not one person would leave here the same way they came in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I promise to give you alone all the praise and all the honor and all the glory for everything that will be said and done in Jesus' name. If you agree with that, shout amen. 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 Thank you so much, worship team. Did a great job today. Today I want to speak about fast track to breakthroughs. Our God is a God of breakthrough. How many of you know that? He wants to give you breakthroughs this year. He wants to help you to break through some things that have been holding you back. In fact, the dictionary defines breakthrough. The dictionary says that a breakthrough is to make a sudden, quick advance through an obstruction or to step forward. A breakthrough is when you make a sudden and a quick advance through an obstruction. God wants to give you some breakthroughs this year. Some things that have been standing in your way, some things that have been holding you back. God wants to help you break through those things this year and move to another level in your life. Do you agree with that this morning? David experienced breakthrough. David, King David. When the Philistines heard that David had been made king over all Israel. He'd been anointed king over all Israel. They mobilized all their forces to go and capture him. And David asked God, he said, "Must I go and fight the Philistines? Will you give me the victory?" And God told him, "Yes, go." And David and his men went. and they fought against the Philistines. The Bible says the Philistines mobilized their entire army, but God gave them a great victory. David was so overwhelmed by the amazing victory that God had given them against the Philistine army that he said in 1 Chronicles chapter 14, he said, God has broken through my enemies by my hand like a breakthrough of water. Therefore, they called the name of the place Baal Perazim. David said, God has broken through my enemies like a breakthrough of water. And they called the place Baal Perazim. Baal Perazim literally means the God of the breakthrough. They changed the name of the place and said, from now on, this place is called the God of the breakthrough, because this is where God broke through our enemies. The New Living Bible says, God burst through my enemies like a raging flood. The Message Bible said, God exploded my enemies like water explodes from a burst pipe. Can you imagine a pipe that bursts and the water? That's how God wants to break through your enemies for you. Break through things that have been holding you back this year. Do you receive that this morning? Let me tell you, I sense in my spirit, family, that this year is going to be an exceptional year. This year is going to be a year where you see promises come to pass. This year is going to be a year where you accomplish dreams. It's going to be a year of surprises where God amazes you with His goodness. Amen? It's going to be a year where you overcome obstacles, where you see breakthroughs in areas that you've struggled for a long time. I believe this is a year of acceleration. I'm telling you, get ready. I believe acceleration is coming your way. Breakthrough is coming your way. I declare it in the name of Jesus. The Bible says in Amos chapter 9 in verse 13, God says, yes, indeed, it won't be long now. God's decree. Things are going to happen so fast that your head will swim. One thing, fast on the heels of the other. You won't be able to keep up. Everything will be happening at once everywhere you look. Blessings, blessings like wine pouring off the mountains and off the hills. Let me tell you, I believe this year, 2020, is going to be a year like Amos prophesied. That things are going to happen so fast. Healings and promotions and breakthroughs. That your head's going to swim. The scripture talks about how God can do a quick work. The Bible says in Romans 9, verse 28, the Lord will carry out His work upon the earth quickly. I believe in God's going to do some quick things in your life this year. Things are going to happen so fast, one right after the other. You're going to be amazed at what God does. Amen? I believe you're going to see God do some quick works, some unusual things in your life this year, things you've been dreaming about. Look like it was going to take years. Suddenly, things are going to fall into place, and you'll look up and you'll say, man, I didn't think it was going to happen that fast. I didn't think I was going to get well this quickly. I didn't realize the problem was going to turn around that suddenly. Let me tell you, family, God wants to do some things that make your head swim. And you may say, Pastor Steve, this sounds good, but I don't think it's going to happen for me. My prayers never seem to get answered. I never seem to get any good breaks. Nothing ever seems to go my way. Well, listen, you're right. It won't happen for you because your negative attitude is canceling it out. Those negative thoughts and doubt and unbelief, it ties the hands of Almighty God. God works where there's an attitude of faith and an attitude of expectancy. So what I'm trying to do today is I'm trying to preach you where you take the limits off of God and where you become expectant and you dare to say, God, I'm asking you to do for me what you promised through the prophet Amos. God, I'm asking you to make my head swim. I'm asking you to amaze me with your goodness. God, accelerate blessings in my life in the name of Jesus. In Amos 9, I'm going to read that same scripture from the New King James Bible. It says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper and the treader of grapes, him who sows seed. And if you read it from the New Living Translation, it says, when the grain and the grapes will grow faster than they can be harvested. God, you're going to see harvest faster than what you can plant it. You're planting and the harvest pops up. You're planting and the harvest pops up. This is saying the time is coming when a man will be out in the plowing the field and sowing seeds, but the harvest would come up so fast that growth would be so sped up that as soon as he sowed, the harvest would pop right back up. The plowman couldn't keep up with it. Let me tell you, typically in those days, a plowman would have to wait 7 or 8 months to see any kind of a harvest. But Amos said the day's coming when it'll happen simultaneously. As soon as you sow the seed, harvest will begin to spring forth. I believe we're living in the day that Amos talked about. I believe we're living in those days where you're sowing seed, you're doing the right thing. It should take months, maybe years. But as you sow the seed, the harvest is already coming back. Blessings are chasing you down. Favor that you didn't deserve. Amen? I don't believe it's going to be the usual process. It's not going to be like it's been in the past. I believe God is in the business of speeding things up. His timetable is not a natural timetable. If you will dare to believe God, God will accelerate things in your life. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 29, Jesus said, the Bible says they put his hands over a blind man's eyes, and he said, you will have what your faith expects. You will have what your faith expects. Say, I will have what my faith expects. Here's the question. What is your faith expecting? What are you expecting? You need to expect breakthroughs. Say, I'm expecting breakthroughs. Say, I'm expecting acceleration. You need to be expecting. I'm expecting breakthroughs. I'm expecting acceleration. One time Jesus was at a wedding in a place called Cana of Galilee, and they ran out of wine. And his mother, Mary, asked Jesus if he could do something about it. And he said, he told them, my time has not yet come. But she told the servers, she said, do whatever he tells you to do. And there were six water pots, stone water pots, over to the side. And each pot held about 20 gallons of water. And there were six pots. So that's 120 gallons, right? And Jesus told the servers, go fill up the water pots with water. And then he told them, go fill the water pots with water. Then fill your pitchers and take it to the master of ceremonies, the host. And the Bible says when they poured out the pitcher of water that they'd taken from the water pot for the master of ceremonies to sample it, that as they poured out the water, what happened? It turned into wine, right? When the master of ceremonies tasted the wine, he was so impressed. He called over the bridegroom and he said this to him in John chapter 2. He said, a host always serves the best wine first. Then when everyone has had a lot to drink, brings out the less expensive wine, but you have kept the best wine until now. This miraculous sign at Cana in Galilee was the first time Jesus revealed his glory and his disciples believed in him. I think it is just amazing that Jesus' first miracle, just to turn all the religious minds tilt, think about it. Jesus' first miracle was to turn water into wine. Someone said it was grape juice. Are you telling me that the master of ceremonies would say, you kept the best grape juice till now? You kept the best grape juice? I mean, think about it. He said, you kept the best wine I ever tasted to the end. You know, how many of you know making wine is a lengthy process? When we first, when we lived in Cape Town, we lived in Cape Town, South Africa. We had a church there, and we lived in next door to many famous vineyards. In Cape Town, there's many, many vineyards, and the street that we lived in was all among, I mean, right across the street, we had a big wine a vineyard. All around, that's where our first house was, and in a place called Constantia. And they start, if you're going to make wine, you start by planting seed in the ground, and then the vines have to grow. It takes years until they eventually start producing grapes. Then the grapes have to get mature enough. Then they pick the grapes, and then they tread the grapes, and then they store the wine. And the process from the time you plant the seed until the time you actually can drink the wine probably takes 3 or 4 years. That's average wine. If you want a better quality, it'll take 5 to 7 years. On top of that, to make wine even better and more valuable, many times they'll age the wine. So if you've been to a restaurant, if you want to buy a bottle of wine and it's 20 years old, it's going to be a lot more expensive than a wine that's 1 year old. It's considered a better wine when it's aged. The longer it's aged, the better. Is this true? All the people who drink wine out there, just like. Here's my point. You say, Pastor Steve, what's your point? Here's my point. The first miracle that Jesus ever performed, he turned water into wine. It was a miracle of acceleration. Because what should have taken 20 or 30 years, God did it in a moment of time, in an instant. You may think, Pastor Steve, I can never get to where I'm supposed to be. I'm so far behind. Let me tell you, God can take what should have taken you 20 years and get you there in an instant. On paper, it may look like it's going to take 30 years to get out of debt. Let me tell you the good news. God knows how to turn your water into wine. He can take a 30-year process and do it in a fraction of the time. One of the greatest keys to see supernatural acceleration and breakthroughs in your life is by fasting and prayer. Let me say that again. One of the greatest keys to see breakthroughs and acceleration in your life is by fasting and prayer. One day Jesus found the disciples. They were surrounded by a crowd of people, and some of the religious Jewish leaders were arguing with them. And Jesus came along. He said, "What's going on?" And one of the crowd said, "I brought my son to you for you to heal him. He's possessed by an evil spirit. He's mute. He can't speak. And whenever the spirit seizes him, he falls down. He foams at the mouth. He grinds his teeth, becomes rigid. And I asked your disciples to cast it out, but they couldn't do it." Jesus, the Bible says, Jesus said, "Bring him to me." And he cast the spirit out, and the boy was set free. And afterwards, the disciples came to Jesus, and they said, "Lord, why couldn't we cast the spirit out?" Listen what Jesus said in Mark 9, verse 29. He answered them. They said, "Why couldn't we cast out that spirit?" He said, "This type of powerful spirit can only be cast out by fasting and prayer." What does that tell me? That tells me that there are some breakthroughs that only happen through fasting and prayer. There are some breakthroughs that only happen as you fast and pray. That's why we're going to start out this year fasting and praying. I believe that fasting is the fast track to breakthroughs. Say, fasting is the fast track to breakthroughs. Those disciples, they couldn't cast out that spirit. What happened? Our light went off here, Miguel. They couldn't cast out that spirit. And Jesus said, this kind of spirit only comes out by fasting and prayer. I want to share with you 9 reasons why I believe you should start out this year with a time of fasting and prayer. Number one, and if you're following in your notes, if you're following in the handout, did everyone get the handout? Anyone need one of those handouts, ushers? If you didn't get our handout, raise your hand. One of the ushers will get it to you because I've got all the scriptures there and you may want to take notes. You want to write this down. Here's point number one. The first reason why we should fast and pray is because Jesus fasted and prayed and he expects us to fast and pray. Luke chapter 4, verse 1, from the moment of his baptism, Jesus was overflowing with the Holy Spirit. He was taken by the Spirit from the Jordan into the lonely wilderness of Judea to experience the ordeal of being tempted or tested by the accuser for 40 days. He ate no food during this time, and he ended his 40-day fast very hungry. So Jesus fasted for 40 days. Is that right? Jesus fasted for 40 days. And Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 2, Jesus said this. He said, "So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. I tell you truly, they have received their reward in full." He said in verse 5, "When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full." And then in verse 16, he said, "When you fast." Now notice, Jesus said, "When you pray, when you give, and when you fast." He didn't say, "If you pray, if you give, and if you fast." He said, "When." In other words, he's expecting, "When you fast, do not be somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full." He said, "But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only tell your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you openly." Listen, fasting brings open rewards. The Bible says when you fast in secret, maybe nobody can see, maybe nobody knows, but it says God will reward you openly. Amen? Fasting brings rewards. Jesus didn't say if you fast, he said when. That means just like God expects me to pray and God expects me to give, God also expects me to fast. Just like prayer and giving are a regular practice in our Christian life as Jesus followers, let me tell you, as a follower of Jesus, praying should be a regular practice for you. Giving should be a regular practice for you. And fasting should be a regular practice for you. Why does Jesus want us to fast? Because he knows the benefits of fasting. He knows the power of fasting. He knows that fasting brings breakthroughs that don't come any other way. Fasting brings us closer to God. Fasting makes us more aware of spiritual things. Fasting makes us more sensitive to God's voice. Fasting helps you to know God's will. Fasting helps you to put your body under control. Fasting helps you to break bondages and addictions. Fasting releases God's anointing, God's favor, and God's blessings. Fasting is the secret to obtaining breakthroughs, opening doors, and seeing miraculous provision and favor in your life. Fasting will bring breakthroughs in your life. Good time to clap right there. That was a good time to clap. Number two. First reason, fast, because Jesus fasted and because he expects us to. Second reason to fast, fasting brings breakthroughs and victories and supernatural power. In 2 Chronicles, the Bible tells us that three armies joined forces and they came to battle against King Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah. And it was such a great army that the Bible says Jehoshaphat was terrified. What did he do? He was terrified. What did he do? 2 Chronicles 20 verse 3, it says, shaken, Jehoshaphat prayed. He went to God for help. And he ordered a nationwide fast. When he heard there's three armies gathered together, it is such a great army like you've never seen before. He was terrified. First thing he does is, we're going to fast. He ordered a nationwide fast. The country of Judah united in seeking God's help. They came from all the cities of Judah to pray to God. They fasted and they. What happened? Well, the Spirit of God came upon a young man by the name of Jehaziel, and the Lord began to speak through this young man, and he said, the Lord said, don't be afraid of this mighty army, for the battle is not yours. The battle is God's. Stand still and watch the Lord's victory. You don't have to fight. God's going to fight this battle for you. And the next day, when they marched into battle, King Jehoshaphat, he put the singers at the front of the army, and they marched into battle singing. What did they sing? They said, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. They went into battle. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. They went singing. And what happened? Verse 20. The very moment that they began to sing and give praise, the Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting among themselves. The armies of Moab and Ammon turned against their allies from Mount Seir and killed every one of them. After they destroyed the army of Seir, they began attacking each other. So when the army of Judah arrived at the lookout point in the wilderness, all they saw were dead bodies lying on the ground. As far as they could see, not a single one of the enemy had escaped. Isn't that amazing? The enemy destroyed themselves. How come? Because they fasted and prayed and they went into battle singing praises to God, and the Lord caused the enemy to become confused. In Judges chapter 20, the Israelites were fighting against the tribe of Benjamin, one of their own tribes. Why? Because some of the men of Benjamin had raped a Levite's wife, and they refused to turn the men over who did it for justice. So all the tribes of Israel united, and they came against the tribe of Benjamin. They went to battle. The first day, 22,000 Israelites died. The second day, 18,000 Israelites died. That's 40,000. The Bible says in Judges 20:26, then all the Israelites went up to Bethel and wept in the presence of the Lord and they fasted until evening. What did they do? They fasted. So they lost 22,000 men the first day. They lost 18,000 the second day. Third day, we're going to fast. They fasted. What happened? The next day, God gave them the victory. The next day, they defeated the tribe of Benjamin, and God gave them the victory. It was all over. Let me tell you, if you want to access the supernatural realm, and you want to walk in spiritual power and authority, you must fast and pray, because there are some breakthroughs that don't happen without fasting and prayer. And I don't know about you, but I want to see breakthroughs in my life and in this church this year. And in your life, I want to see breakthroughs. If you want to just live an ordinary, powerless life, then, you know, go ahead. Eat up. But if you want to see supernatural breakthrough, then fasting is essential. God is looking for people who are hungry to be used by Him. Amen? Fasting and prayer. Let me tell you, fasting and prayer separates the men from the boys. Because fasting, we find out who's really serious, fasting and prayer. For fasting is you desire God more than you desire food. Do you know Jesus said in John 4, verse 34, He said, my food is to be doing the will of Him who sent me and to bring it to completion. Jesus said, my food is to do God's will. My food, what satisfies me, is to do God's will. And Job said this in Job 23, verse 12. He said, I have esteemed the words of His mouth more than my necessary food. Job said, I esteem and value God's word more than I value eating food. You see, the reason I fast is because I desire God and I esteem God more than eating food. The reason I fast is because I want to see breakthroughs in my life, and I'm more desperate for that than I am for food. Fasting proves to God that I'm serious. I'm taking consecrated time to push food away and to rather seek after God. Amen. So that I can attain spiritual power where demonic forces that hinder other people have to bow down to me. Let me tell you, if Jesus, the Son of God, had to consecrate Himself with fasting and prayer, how do we think that we, who were not born of a virgin, we who were not conceived by the Holy Spirit, we who do not live a sinless life, just regular people saved by God's grace, how can we think that we don't need to fast and pray if Jesus, the Son of God, born of a virgin, conceived of the Holy Spirit, who lived a sinless life, if He needed to fast and pray, surely you and I need to fast and pray as well. Can you say amen, somebody? If Jesus had to consecrate Himself in fasting and prayer to see what He saw, how can we expect to see what He saw without doing what He did? Jesus said in Luke 6, verse 40, a disciple is not above his teacher, and everyone who is perfectly trained will become like his teacher. In other words, if Jesus, our master and our teacher, if he fasted and he prayed, the Bible says we are not above him. We are to be like him. We are to follow his example. As a disciple of Jesus, we have to do what we see the master do. And Jesus fasted and Jesus prayed. And so we need to fast and we need to pray. Can anybody say amen? Number three. Fasting destroys demonic forces that are trying to block God's will for my life. In Daniel chapter 10, verse 1, it says, Daniel said, I, Daniel, was mourning for 3 full weeks. Now, many times in the Old Testament, when it uses the word mourning, it's actually talking about fasting. Now, not every time, but many times the word mourning relates to fasting. In this instance, it's talking about Daniel was fasting. He said in verse 3, I ate no pleasant food, no meat or no wine came into my mouth. Now, this is what has become pretty popular nowadays. It's called the Daniel fast. Daniel fasted in that he didn't eat any pleasant food. He didn't eat any meat, no steak, no chicken, no fish. He didn't eat any wine, no alcohol. A Daniel fast is really where you just eat vegetables and you eat vegetables and really fruit, I think. But that's called a Daniel fast. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment. But Daniel had been fasting for 21 days, 3 full weeks. And it says then, after 21 days, an angel of God appeared to Daniel. And this is what the angel said to him. In verse 12, the angel said, don't be frightened, Daniel, for your request has been heard in heaven and was answered the very first day you began to fast before the Lord and pray for understanding. The first day you started praying and fasting, your prayer was heard in heaven. Is that what he said? He said, that very day, I was sent here to meet you. But what happened? Verse 13. But for 21 days, the mighty evil spirit who overrules the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. Then Michael, one of the archangels of the heavenly army, came to help me. So I was able to, shout a little louder. I was able to break through these spirits that rule Persia. So the angel said, the first day you started fasting and praying, your prayer was heard and I was sent. I was sent to come and speak to you. But for 21 days, this prince of Persia, this evil spirit, do you know that there are evil spirits that rule over nations on the earth? This is what the scripture says. There are evil spirits. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and wicked spirits in heavenly places. The Bible says we are in a spiritual warfare, not with flesh and blood, but against demonic rulers, demonic spirits that rule over different nations. And so the angel said this evil spirit stopped me, blocked me for 21 days. But eventually Michael, the archangel of war, came to help me and I was able to break through. Listen, family, because Daniel kept fasting and praying, that blockage was removed. What if Daniel had quit on day 7? What if he gave up on day 7? You see, it's not that we have to convince God to try and answer you. If there weren't any demons, the fast really wouldn't be necessary. Fasting is to unleash breakthrough power, to break through the things that are hindering you from God's plan and God's purpose. Do you know when you pray and you ask God, do you know that the enemy tries to hinder and stop that prayer? That's why when you keep praying, you keep believing God, you keep praising God, and when you fast and pray, let me tell you, it brings breakthroughs in your life. A lot of people don't understand this. When they pray for something and it doesn't happen, then when things don't work out the way they want, they often blame God. Well, I guess God just didn't see fit to bring it to pass. No, there are demonic forces that are designed to hinder your spiritual advancement, but fasting and prayer destroys demonic forces who are trying to block God's will for my life. Number 4, fasting looses the bonds or the bands of wickedness and breaks chains of oppression. The Bible says in Isaiah 58 in verse 6, Isaiah 58 is like the great fasting chapter of the Bible. It gives you like 20 different blessings and benefits contained there that happen when you fast. It says in verse 6, is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burden, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke. Fasting breaks yokes. Fasting removes burdens. The Passion Bible says it like this: to remove the sinful chains, to tear away the ropes of the burdensome yoke, and to set free the oppressed, and to break every burdensome yoke in your life. God says, this is the fast that I have chosen, to break every bond, to break every wickedness, to break every oppression. Let me tell you, fasting will set you free from wickedness. Fasting will set you from oppressions that have bound you. It'll set you free from addictions. It'll break yokes in your life. You'll come out of this fast holy and free, set apart for the work of God, sin having no power over you. Let me tell you, if you've struggled with certain addictions in your life, one of the greatest way of breaking those is by fasting and prayer. Thank you for your great enthusiasm this morning. Isaiah 58 is the great fasting chapter of the Bible. It reveals many, many, many benefits and blessings for fasting. It talks about how that your healing will spring forth speedily, healing. It talks about how the Lord will guide you. It talks about how the Lord will protect you. It talks about how God will give you victory, success, how God will quickly answer you. You will cry and call to me, and I will answer you. It talks about how God will provide for you. It talks about how God will restore. Fasting and prayer brings restoration. It brings provision. It brings strength. It brings success. It brings protection, guidance, healing, quick answers to prayer. Things happen when you fast and pray. Amen, somebody. Amen. Preach it, Pastor Steve. Yeah. Let me hear you. Preach it, Pastor Steve. Yeah. Yeah, I like to hear that. I don't want to ever be in a dead church. I don't want to be in a dead. I want a church that gets excited. I want a church that sings praise to God. I want a church that gets stirred up. Amen. Number five, fasting releases financial blessing in your life. Fasting will release financial blessing in your life. In the book of Joel, if you read the book of Joel, they were in a financial crisis. Actually, the locusts had devoured all the vegetation and all the crops, totally devoured it. I remember when, I'm taking a little side journey here, but when Jill and I were flying, we used to go back and forth from South Africa because we pastored a church in South Africa, and for 10 years we traveled back and forth between here and South Africa. I made 60 trips to South Africa in 10 years. That's like 6 trips a year. And one year we were flying to South Africa, and it just so happened, this didn't happen very often, we get on the plane, and there's Pastor Theo and Pastor Bev, our pastors. We didn't know it. They're in the seat right in front of us. And so in those days, we would fly from Miami straight into Cape Town, and they would stop at a little place called Ile de Sol, which is a little island on the north of Africa. They'd stop to refuel. So you wouldn't get off the plane. On the coast of Africa, in the middle of the Atlantic, go Google it, Ile de Sol. And so they would stop. You wouldn't leave the plane. You'd stay on the plane. They'd come. They'd do a security check, and they'd refuel, and we'd take off. You'd be there an hour. So we stop Ile de Sol. They refuel the plane. Okay, we're taking off. I take my sleeping tablet because when I fly, I take a sleeping tablet. I can't sleep without a sleeping tablet on the flight. So I take my sleeping tablet, put my seat back. I'm out, man. Pastor Bev took her sleeping tablet. Boom, she's out. Pastor Theo, he don't need one. He's out. Jill's the only one awake. The next thing I'm being shaken awake. Do you ever try to wake up after you took a sleeping tablet? They're trying to shake me awake. Are we there? Are we there? Turned out there was a mechanical problem with the engine, with the airplane, and they said, we've got to turn back, and we're dumping all the fuel. How much? That must have been hundreds of thousands of dollars. We're dumping all the fuel. We've got to go back to Ile de Sol. We go back and we land at Ile de Sol. There's a mechanical problem. They get us off the plane. We end up getting stranded there for 3 days. They had to send another airplane. But here's my point. While we were, they put us up in a 5-star hotel. You never seen a 5-star hotel like this. No carpets on the floor, but it was a 5-star hotel. No air conditioning in this 5-star hotel. But one thing it had was a beach. But when we looked at the island, over the entire island, there wasn't a blade of grass. There wasn't a leaf on a tree. Every tree was stripped, and every blade of grass was gone. And we're like, what happened? They said a plague of locusts came through the island and totally devoured, ate every single piece of vegetation on the island. So it made me think of Joel's day. That's how that was. The locusts had eaten everything. They were in a famine. So what did Joel do? What did he do? Look at Joel 1 verse 14. Announce a time of fasting. Call the people together for a solemn meeting. Bring the leaders and all the people of the land into the house of the Lord your God and cry out to him there. Announce a time of fasting. What happened as they began to fast and pray? Verse 19, the Lord will reply, look, I am sending you grain, I am sending you new wine, I am sending you olive oil, enough to satisfy your needs. It says, don't be afraid, you animals of the field, for the wilderness pastures will soon be green. The trees will again be filled with fruit. Fig leaves and grapevines will be loaded down once more. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for the rain he sends demonstrates his faithfulness. Once more, the autumn rains will come as well as the rains of spring. The threshing floors will again be piled high with grain, and the presses will overflow with new wine and olive oil. The Lord says, I will give you back what you lost to the swarming locusts. God said, I will restore everything that was stolen from you. And once again, you will have all the food you want, and you will praise the Lord your God who does these miracles for you. Let me tell you, God did a financial miracle for them. God turned their situation, their financial situation around because they fasted and prayed. I want to tell you, fasting and prayer releases financial miracles in your life. Number six, fasting brings your body under control. The Bible says in Romans 12, verse 1, And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all that he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. The Bible says that our body is to be a living sacrifice to the Lord. You see, if we were in a glorified body, one day our body is going to be glorified. The Bible says our body is going to be changed. But right now, we're not in a glorified body. If we were in a glorified body and if there was no devil, fasting wouldn't be necessary. But because you live in this fleshly, carnal body that doesn't have any desire to please God. You know, that Paul said, no good thing dwells in my flesh. My flesh has no desire to please God. I got to take control of my body. Paul the Apostle said in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27, he said, I discipline my body and I bring my body into subjection. The Passion Bible says, I subdue my body and I get it under my control. Do you know you've got to get your body under control? Do you know that you should be controlling your body and not your body controlling you? Isn't it interesting that because man betrayed God through food, eating of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, to attain the power that he lost, it would necessitate a pushing away of food. Do you know that's what they did in the Bible? Do you know the Hebrew word for fasting literally means to cover your mouth? Do you know in Hebrew, the word fasting means to cover your mouth? Do you know today, Christian leaders rob the body of Christ because they've lowered God's standards. They think they're helping people that they're not. They tell people, well, you don't have to fast food. You can fast other things like, you know, fast some television. I know that it's hard to fast food. So why don't you just, you know, fast your favorite TV show? Ministers are supposed to show people how to attain the power of God so they can have it in their own life. Powerful things happen when you fast and pray, powerful things happen. And I believe we're going to see God's power break forth in our lives, in our families, in our church, in our city, and in our nation as we fast and pray this year. Amen. Let me tell you, fasting brings your body under subjection to your spirit. What's going to happen when your body growls and you think, man, I really want to eat. My stomach's growling. I really want to eat. You say, no, we're not eating. You're taking a decision that you made in your spirit, and you're making your body come under the dominion of your spirit. Do you know that we are supposed to be led by our spirit and not by our body? The reason why so many people fail and they miss God's best is because their spirit is in subjection to their body. Their body is ruling them. They want to go to church in their heart, but their body doesn't want to go to church. There's a lot of people today, they're not in church because their body told them not to be here. I don't do what my body tells me to do. My body does what I tell it to do. Amen. So many people, they let their body make their decisions. Well, when I feel the Spirit moving me, I will pray. If I don't feel Him moving me, I ain't going to pray. Well, if I really feel like coming to church, I've had people tell me, I'll see how I feel. I'll see you in church Sunday. I'll see how I feel. I can tell you right now, you ain't going to be here. Because if you're going to wait to see how you feel, you ain't going to feel it. I'll be there. I make a decision. I bring my body into subjection. Listen, Paul wrote to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 in verse 1. He said, I could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as unto carnal, even as to babes in Christ. The Passion Bible says, I found it impossible to speak to you as those who are spiritually mature because you are still dominated by the mindset of the flesh. And then the Amplified Bible says, you're still men of the flesh in whom the carnal nature predominates. Do you know that as long as we let our flesh and our body rule us, we will remain spiritual babies? If you want to grow and mature, you've got to come to the point where you bring your body in subjection under the control of your spirit. You cannot grow into spiritual maturity if you allow your body to rule and dominate you. You can't follow the spirit and the flesh. You know, a lot of people in their heart, they want to live right, but their body wants to sin. You know, whatever dog you feed the most will win. What does that mean? Imagine there's two dogs in a fight. Imagine two dogs in a fight. Picture your spirit man as one dog and your flesh as another dog. Which dog's going to win the fight? Whatever dog you feed the most, that's who's going to win. And let me tell you, fasting is starving the one dog, the flesh, and feeding the other dog, the spirit. When you fast, you starve your flesh and you feed your spirit. Your spirit gets stronger and your flesh gets weaker. Let me tell you, there's a conflict between the spirit and the flesh. Often we often blame the devil for everything. But let me tell you, the devil's been defeated. The only enemy you've got to defeat is the one that looks at you in the mirror every morning. If you learn to keep your body under subjection to your spirit, you will win in life. You will grow to maturity. And fasting and prayer is one of the best ways of doing it. And let me tell you, if you're a young person, if you're in your 18, 19, 20, you're in your 20s, say, is this for me, Pastor Steve? Let me tell you, your youth is the most important time to learn to fast and pray and crucify your flesh, because your flesh is the strongest when you're young. Paul told Timothy, Timothy was 18 years old, and Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, verse 22, he said, flee youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, love, peace, faith with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. And if you read that from the Living Bible, it says the Lord knows those who are really His. And a person who calls himself a Christian should not be doing the things that are wrong. It says in a wealthy home, there are dishes made of gold and silver, as well as some made from wood and clay. The expensive dishes are used for guests, and the cheap ones are used in the kitchen or to put garbage in. It says, if you stay away from sin, you will be like one of those dishes made of purest gold, the very best in the house, so that Christ Himself can use you for His highest purposes. Let me tell you, it says in verse 22, it says, run from anything that gives you evil thoughts that young men often have, but stay close to anything that makes you want to do right. Have faith and love and enjoy the companionship of those who love the Lord and who have pure hearts. Family, it's not a mystery to be used by God. If you don't sleep around and you don't get drunk and you don't live in sin and you don't walk in darkness, if you live holy, God will use you. His anointing will flow through you powerfully. And fasting and prayer is what brings your body under control. Amen? Fasting helps you to control your flesh. Number 7, we're almost done. We're almost done. You getting anything out of this today? I don't know about you, but I'm preaching to myself today. Number 7, fasting releases you into your destiny. Fasting will release you into your destiny. The Bible says in Acts chapter 13, in the church at Antioch, there were a number of prophets and teachers of the word, including Barnabas, Simeon from Niger, and Lucius the Libyan, Manian, and Saul. And it says, while they were worshiping before the Lord in prayer and... what were they doing? They were fasting and praying. It says, while they were fasting and praying and worshiping God, the Holy Spirit said, I have called Barnabas and Saul to do an important work for me. Now release them to go and fulfill it. And the Bible says, so after they had fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and they sent them off. Do you know there is a level of success that you can attain in your life by human effort where you really don't need God's help? I mean, you know, you can get a house and you can get some food and you can get some clothes. But if you're content with survival, there's no reason to fast and pray. But I'm telling you, God has a tremendous destiny for your life. And if you want to reach your highest potential, you need to fast and pray. Jesus fasted 40 days. And right after he fasted, he was released into his destiny. His ministry started when he came out of that wilderness after fasting for 40 days. Moses fasted 40 days on Mount Sinai, and he received the Ten Commandments from the Lord. The Apostle Paul fasted right after he got converted on the road to Damascus. He fasted for 3 days. Another time he fasted for 14 days when he was on a ship being taken to Rome. You see, fasting releases you into your destiny, family. Fasting releases you into your destiny. And number 8, and I'll close with this. Fasting propels you into the realm of unimaginable blessings. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, no eye has seen, and no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. The Passion Bible says, things never discovered, things never heard of before, things beyond our ability to imagine. These are the many things God has in store for all of His lovers. Let me tell you, there is a level that you can get to in the human realm. But fasting and prayer is birthed from an understanding. When you understand from the Bible that God has blessings for me, God has a destiny for me that is beyond what anyone has seen, is beyond what anyone has heard, is beyond what anyone has imagined. And that's where I want to go. I don't know about you. I don't want to live small. I don't want to find out when I get to heaven one day that God had all these amazing blessings lined up for me and I only lived at 10% of what God had for me. I want everything God has for me. I want everything God has stored up for me. And it's not wrong to desire God's blessing. It's stupidity not to desire it. Someone says, well, Pastor Steve, you know, we don't seek the gifts, we seek the giver. No, you should seek both. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 31, you should all constantly boil over with passion in seeking the higher gifts. Let me tell you, God loves giving gifts. God is a benevolent God. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. When you fast, God rewards you openly. You got to renew your mind from this religious thinking that makes you feel guilty for desiring to advance, for desiring to increase, for desiring blessing. The first thing God told man in Genesis was to increase, be fruitful, and multiply. So to desire fruitfulness and to desire multiplication and to desire increase is being obedient to God's original command and plan in the book of Genesis. When you look at Daniel, let me tell you, Daniel didn't just get one answer to his prayer. Daniel kept on rising higher and higher in the kingdom of Babylon. He kept rising. He was promoted to prime minister under four different kings. And they usually only promoted Babylonians. They didn't like Hebrews. They were their slaves. But because Daniel gave himself to fasting and prayer, God rewarded him, and he was prime minister under four different kings. Let me tell you, when God promotes you, it's something that man could never give you. All the money in the world couldn't buy it. Fasting propels you into the realm of unimaginable blessings. God's got some blessings for you. You haven't even realized. You can't even imagine what God wants to do. When you fast and pray, those things happen. And I lied. I got one more. I forgot. I got one more. I'll just do it real fast. Number 9, fasting ensures your fire will never go out. Do you know the Bible says in Romans 12, verse 11, it says, be enthusiastic to serve the Lord. Be enthusiastic to serve the Lord. Be enthusiastic to serve the Lord. Keep your passion toward Him boiling hot. Keep your passion boiling hot. Radiate with the glow of the Holy Spirit and let Him fill you with excitement as you serve Him. Let me tell you, God wants you to be passionate about serving you. He wants you to be enthusiastic about serving Him. And fasting ensures, let me tell you, fasting ensures you'll never become a part of the backslidden Western church that needs the truths of the Bible to be tied into movies or they're not interested. I mean, dear God, the day, can you imagine the day when we came to church and we got Disney characters out in the parking lot? Because that's the only way to get people to come to church. We got to talk about movies and we got to have Disney characters. Let me tell you, I want to stay on fire and passionate for God, and fasting and prayer ensures you'll never be a carnal Christian. Fasting and prayer ensures you'll stay on fire for God. It ensures that you'll be part of this new wave of young Holy Spirit-filled believers and middle-aged Holy Spirit-filled believers and old men and women believers that God is pouring His Spirit on to see the devil have the worst year that he ever had in his life. Family, we're not going to watch God move in our generation. We're going to be part of God moving in our generation. And it doesn't happen by accident. It happens by doing what they did in the early church. And they were devoted to prayer. And they were devoted to fasting. And Jesus fasted. And Moses fasted. And Paul fasted. And Joshua fasted. And all these different men of God. Let me tell you, in the book of Acts, they would bring people, sick people. They'd lay them in the street. And the preacher's shadow would just touch them. And they would be healed. If we want to have what they had, we got to do what they did. Because God is a God of cause and effect, family. Life is a life of cause and effect. Things don't just happen. Actions produce results. And if we will do what the early church did, let me tell you, the Bible says the place where they met, the place was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they went out preaching the Word of God with boldness, and the sick were healed, and miracles happened, and they gave generously, and poverty was broken, and the name of Jesus was glorified, and multitudes were saved, and the world was turned upside down. That's what we're going to do. We're going to advance the kingdom of God. And when we get to heaven, we're going to hear the Lord say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Can you say amen? Now listen. as we close today, and we talk about ways to fast, because there's different ways you can fast. The main thing is to make a sacrifice. The bigger the sacrifice, the bigger the reward. But there's three kinds of fast. There's a total fast, where you only drink water. That's how Jesus fasted. Then there's a liquid fast, where you drink, you know, liquid, soup, protein drink, vegetable drink, anything liquid. And then there's the Daniel fast, which is the way Daniel fasted. And Daniel didn't eat any meat. He didn't eat any fish, any chicken, didn't drink any alcohol, no coffee, no sugar, no desserts, no sweets, no flour. All you got to do is go and Google the Daniel fast. And you get all the information of what you can eat and what you want. Now, if you're already a vegetarian like Carol over there, or a vegan or veggie, then just eating vegetables is not really fasting. You're going to have to find a way, cut out desserts or cut out wine or cut out coffee, but somehow make a time of, for me, to eat Daniel is like, it's like a major sacrifice. Because I have meat at every meal. I have bacon in the morning and steak or chicken for lunch. I mean, I'm a meat and potatoes guy, you know, Irish blood. So for me, fasting vegetables, that's a big sacrifice. But I'm excited to do it. I'm going to be fasting. I'm starting fasting this week. There are different lengths of fast. You can fast between 1 and 40 days. You can fast 1 day, 3 days, 7 days, 14 days, 21 days, 40 days. These are all numbers that are significant in the Bible. There's so much great teaching on fasting. All you do is Google it. You can watch so many sermons. Jensen Franklin has got amazing sermons on fasting. But when you fast, the reason you're fasting is to pray and seek God. Make sure you pray. Make sure you call out to God. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Read your Bible. Get into the Word of God. Watch sermons. I mean, watch sermons. You can watch on TV. Watch. Fill yourself with the Word of God and praising God and worshiping Him and reading the Bible and praying. And let me tell you, I thank God for everyone that's made New Year's resolution to quit smoking or go to the gym or eat healthy. But let's resolve that we're going to get closer to God, that we're going to grow spiritually. We're going to seek Him in fasting and prayer. We want everything God has for us this year. Can you say amen? Because let me tell you, what you do at the beginning of the year will set the tone for the rest of the year. You will see breakthroughs all through this year when you start out the year fasting and praying and seeking God. I want to encourage you. I hope. Who will fast with me? I'm asking you during the month of January. Now, let me just clarify. You don't have to fast this week. But during the month, I'm fasting this week. But during the month of January, I'm asking you to take some time, whether it's 1 day or whether it's 40 days, whether it's 20 days, whether it's 14 days, whatever it is, I'm asking everybody to make some time in January to fast, to pray, to seek God, to read your Bible, to get close to God, to worship Him, immerse yourself in the Word of God, watch sermons online, listen to my sermons online, listen to other people's sermons online. Get yourself, you will, when you start out the year fasting and praying, let me tell you will see amazing things happen. If you will do this, I declare, I believe in the name of Jesus, I declare this over you, family. If you will fast and pray, move it on for me, please, whoever's on that teleprompter. I'm waiting. You're going to see supernatural. Say, I'm going to see supernatural acceleration. Say, I'm going to see supernatural breakthroughs. Let me tell you, you're going to grow spiritually like never before. You're going to destroy demonic forces that have been blocking your destiny. You are going to be propelled into the no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart has imagined realm of blessing. You're going to put your body under control of your spirit. Every band of wickedness, every addiction, everything holding you back, you're going to be loose from it. The fire of the Holy Spirit is going to be ignited in your life. In the name of Jesus, God's going to pour out His Spirit on you, and this year is going to drip with abundance for you. This year, you're going to see God making a way where you never saw a way. You're going to see acceleration, and you're going to see breakthroughs in Jesus' name. If you agree, shout amen with me. Amen and amen. Give God thanks and praise today. Praise God. I know I preached a little bit long today, but do you receive it today? How many people say you're going to fast and pray sometime in January? Wave your hand at me. Wave your hand at me. Come on. Wave your hand like this. You're going to fast and pray sometime. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. We're going to fast and pray. I'm starting tomorrow. I'm going to do the Daniel fast from tomorrow. Thank God for Ezekiel bread. Have you ever heard of Ezekiel bread? Ezekiel bread. There's no flour in it. It's all made seeds and grains. It's by the recipe in Ezekiel 4, verse 7. I'm going to have my Ezekiel bread ready, and but I'm going to fast, and I'm going to pray. Amen? Are we ready? You get it at Whole Foods, I believe, Publix. You get it at Publix. Publix in the freezer. You got to go. It's frozen. You've got to keep it frozen. But I'm looking for, anyone else looking forward to this? Is anyone believing God for great things in 2020? Do you have a vision for great things in 2020? How many believing for breakthroughs in 2020? Amen. Amen. Bow your heads. I want to pray for you. Father, I thank you for every person who's here today. I thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you've got great blessings, blessings we haven't seen, blessings we haven't heard, blessings we haven't even imagined. Lord, you are God of breakthrough. You're the way maker. You make a way where there doesn't even seem to be a way. And Father, I just thank you today that as your people, as we fast and as we pray, I thank you for breakthroughs in people's lives. I thank you that 2020 will be an amazing year. I thank you that this will be a year where we move up higher to a higher realm, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We are set ablaze with the fire of your Spirit. While you have your heads bowed and while you have your eyes closed, I want to pray for anyone who's here this morning and you say, Pastor Steve, you know, I'm really not sure where I stand with God today. I'm really not sure if all is right, if all is well between me and the Lord. I want to ask you a question. The question is, if you were to die today, if you died today, can you say that you know for sure? Can you say that you know without any doubt that you would go to heaven? Or would you have to be honest and say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such church. Listen, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. I'm not asking you if you believe in God. What I'm asking you is, if you died today, can you say you know for sure that you would go to heaven? Or would you have to be honest? Say, Pastor Steve, I'm not sure. I hope so. Let me tell you, you can walk out of here this morning and you can know for sure that all is right with you and God, that every mistake, every sin you've ever committed, it's forgiven. And it's washed away. And you can walk out of here today knowing for sure that when you die, heaven is where you will spend all of eternity. Let me tell you, heaven is real. There is a heaven to gain. There is a hell to shun. I want to pray right now for anyone here this morning that says, Pastor Stevie, pray for me. Include me in that prayer you're going to pray. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. But right where you sit, if you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me, include me. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I want to make sure all is right with me and God. Pray for me. If that's you, quickly, would you just lift your hand up? Just slip it up right now. Just lift it up high. I'm looking for hands. And if your hand is raised, you're included in this prayer this morning. God bless you. Do you see anybody hands raised? Anybody? I didn't see anyone. Did anyone see Tom? No hands raised? All right. Look up at me for a moment. Look back up at me for a moment. Say this year, I'm going to bring more people to church than I did last year. Say 2020 is my year. I'm going to bring at least 20 people to church. 2020. Say I'm going to bring, come on, say it. I'm going to bring at least 20 people to church. How many people are you going to bring to church this year, Mark?
At least
20. 20. How many people are you going to bring to church this year, Leo?
At least 20.
How many people are going to bring to church this year, Dennis? 22. At least 20. Imagine if we all bring 20 people to church this week. I mean this year. 20 people. That's going to be hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, right? Amen. Well, Happy New Year. You glad you came to church today? Amen.
Awesome. Good preaching. Good preaching. I'm ready for it, right? It's going to be a good week, good month, good year. Now's the time where we're going to receive our tithes and offerings, and there's envelopes right in the seat backs or on your seat. And I'm going to read from Malachi 3, but first I wanted to just relate a story that I read on people.com. And there was a man in California a few years ago, and he had a really bad car accident, and he landed up on disability checks because he'd been a carpenter and he had to have his foot amputated, and so he was unable to carry on working as a carpenter, obviously. And he was on disability checks, and things got really bad. He was living on like $200 a month. He had kids. He was living in a shack on his friend's property. And eventually it got so bad for him that he had to send his kids to Louisiana, all the way across the country, to live with his parents. And things were looking really bad for him. But then one day he was watching the Antique Roadshow. Anybody watch the Antique Roadshow? And he saw a guy on there, and this man had this Navajo blanket. And they were bidding on it, and they were appraising this whole thing. And it landed up selling for like $200,000. So he started thinking, and he thought about a blanket that he had in a dusty old box somewhere from his great-grandmother. And he thought, you know, I'm going to go and pull that thing out. And he did, and his mother said to him, you know, you're crazy. If that got you $10, you know, what would that even do? Because the grandmother used it when her cats gave birth to kittens. Like, that's the kind of blanket it was used for. And so anyway, to cut a long story short, he took the blanket and they appraised it, and they looked back into the background, and it had come from his great-great-grandfather in like the 1800s, and they verified everything, and they began the bidding on it, and he said he was sweating. They had to keep handing him water. He was sweating, and he landed up getting $1.5 million for that old blanket. This is the guy. He was smiling, big, big smile on his face. And you might say, well, why are you telling me that story? Well, you know, the whole time he was going through this difficulty, that blanket was in his possession, right? All of his struggle, having to send his kids away, trying to make ends meet, he was basically sitting on a gold mine, and he just didn't know it. So you say, how does that tie into the offering today? Well, you know, he didn't tap in to his blessings, mainly because he didn't know that he had it. But with financial blessings from God, it's very much the same way. God has provided for us a route to blessing. He's provided a way. We talk about him being the way maker. Some of that is that he points the direction. And we've got to take the way that he says, right? And so he's provided the route for us to be blessed in our lives financially. But we've got to follow it. And I'll just read one verse from Malachi 3. He said, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there'll not be room enough to receive it. Now, I want you to just leave that up there. Started from the beginning for me. He said, bring all the tithe. So we understand that the tithe is the tenth. All through the Bible, right before the law began, the Bible says Abraham brought a tenth of all to the Lord, right? So it's right. Jesus said we should tithe. It's all through the Bible. It's not just that we give some of our money away. He said, bring it into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. This is the house of God. The churches on this earth are the houses of the Lord today. Amen. And then it says, he says, try me. God says, go ahead and prove if I'll not do what I said I'll do. He said, I'll open the windows of heaven and pour blessing out for you. So God is showing us a route to follow in order to see blessing on our life. And it's up to us whether we tap into that blessing. Just like that man in California had blessing available to him. He never tapped into it for years. God is saying there's a way of blessing. And I'm asking you to tap into it. I'm pointing you towards it. And I just want to encourage you. We're right at the beginning of a new year. And if you've never tithed, if you've never set aside the first tenth of what you receive from the Lord, I encourage you to do it. If you've been sporadic, if you've said sometimes I do and sometimes I don't, depending on what I'm got going on that week, that month, I encourage you to try God, to prove His word to be true. This isn't a plan that man made up. It's not a preacher's idea. It is God's plan for us. And we can, I encourage you to make a commitment. You know, we're making resolutions. We're setting goals. But I encourage you to make a commitment this year to tithe. Just step out and do what God said and prove his word true in your life. Amen. So if you're ready to give, I want to, let's make a confession together. Let's say this. You got that for me, Dan? Say, Lord,
let's hold it in your hand. Hold it in your hand. Yeah. Let's declare this together. You know, if God is not first in your finances, he's not first in your life.
It's true.
When God's first in your life, he's first in your finances.
Right.
And I think what you said was so good. To start this new year, put the Lord first.
Yeah.
Do you know the Bible says in where is it? In Deuteronomy, it says 14. The purpose of tithing, Deuteronomy 14, the purpose of tithing is to teach you to always keep the Lord first. Or always keep God first.
Right.
Tithing is showing God you are first in my life. The first dollar of every dime of every dollar belongs to the Lord.
Yeah.
And the Bible says you honor God.
Right.
And when you honor him, he opens up the windows of heaven and he pours blessings that you could never have imagined.
Amen.
So hold that in your hand and let's declare it. Let's say it together. Hold that your envelope in your hand. Say this. Say, Lord, I bring my tithe and offering.
Lord, I bring my tithe
to you today.
To you today.
I recognize that you have provided
a way
to my blessing. And I tap into it by faith. As I give today,
I believe
that I receive
the
windows
of heaven
open over my life in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Father, I thank you. The windows of heaven are open above your people. I thank you for blessings chasing us down and overtaking us. I thank you, Lord, for blessing us beyond what we ever saw, what we ever heard, what we even imagined, Father. Unimaginable blessings beyond, Father, that what we could even ask or think. We give you all the praise. I thank you for a year of breakthrough. I thank you for a year of financial breakthrough, of financial acceleration, of restoration, Lord, in Jesus' name. If you believe it, say amen.
Amen,
amen and amen. Ushers, thank you. Are you ready to give today? I want to thank all of our volunteers. Thank you to all of our servant leaders who served in God's house today, our kids' church leaders and our ushers and our greeters and our media team and our worship team up here. They did such a great job today. Can you say amen? As we go today, stand up with us. Oh, I think they're done. Are they done there? Ushers, how are you doing? Are you done? All right, come on, as we go, sing, I raise a hallelujah.
I raise a hallelujah.
I raise a hallelujah.
In the presence of my enemy.
Come on, lift your hands, raise a hallelujah as we go today.
I raise a hallelujah. Loud. I raise a hallelujah.